You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Warriors Wrap-Up.
And Curry takes another three. It's up and good! He's got 62!
On 95.7, the game.
Pass to Wiseman off the pick, and he flies in for a dunk.
Jam! Oh, by Oubre! He caught it right at the restricted area and slammed it home with a left hand.
Here's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey.
Curry lobs it into Wiggins, gets it back. Straightens with Campazzo on his left hip, takes the three, goes up, got foul, it's good! He's got a chance for a four-point play! You know Curry wanted that one. You know he wanted that one. Curry getting the serenade of MVP here at Chase Center.
That's right, Curry getting the MVP chant after kind of a janky start to this one for Steph. He finishes strong, 32 points. Fans back in Chase Center. Kelly Oubre and Jordan Poole with big games off the bench. And the Warriors get a win for the second consecutive home game against the Denver Nuggets to improve to 30-30. 888-957-9570. Covey, this is a big-time win. The defense was there from the start. They did a nice job on Nikola Jokic, and while Curry was trying to figure out what was going on with his foot or his shoe or his brace or whatever the heck was going on in that first quarter, the rest of this squad held things down and helped the Warriors earn a big dub.
Yeah, no question. 30-30. God, you just think where they might be had they won a couple more games down the stretch. They could literally be in the hunt for the sixth seed right now. It doesn't matter. They're 30-30. A couple things tonight that stood out to me, JD. Juan Toscano-Anderson, plus 29 in 26 minutes. Also, you know, 8 rebounds, 4-7 shooting. Terrific. Kelly Oubre, no problem coming off the bench. 23 points, plus 19 in 33 minutes. Draymond Green, career high 19 assists. Dubs, 45 buckets, 40 assists as a team. Love that. And we talked with Jim Barnett earlier. One of the things we were concerned about, Nuggets, the solid rebounding outfit that they are, fourth best rebounding team in the NBA. They're the third best offensive rebounding team. Meanwhile, the Dubs, the worst offensive rebounding team in the NBA, second worst rebounding team overall. Dubs get the advantage on the glass, 52-36. And I had to go back and look this up. Nikola Jokic started 5 of 5 on this basketball game tonight. He hit just 2 of his last 11 shots and was a minus 18 tonight, below his season averages in points, rebounds, and assists. Warriors did a hell of a job. A lot of that credit goes to Draymond Green and, of course, Kevon Looney.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Jokic ends up struggling tonight. The Warriors, you know, one thing we've learned over the last couple of weeks, you know, maybe the Wizards are a rough matchup for the Warriors, but the Nuggets, at least this current iteration of the Nuggets, the Warriors are a tough matchup for them. They made life awfully difficult over the course of these two games played inside Chase Center on the Denver Nuggets, who dipped to 38-21. And just a nice team effort by a shorthanded squad tonight. Draymond Green, you mentioned the defense. I'll mention the career high tying 19 assists in the ball game. The ball was zipping around 40 for the Warriors in this one. Tonight, as he ties the career high, another double-double for Draymond. One of those games where 2 points, but he's got 19 assists, and he's got 12 rebounds, and the defensive imprint was there as well. And it just a nice win. I mean, the MVP chance, the fans back inside Chase Center, everything felt like it was just coming together for the Warriors, and I'm with you 100%. You know, this team now 30-30, and you can't help but look on a night where the Blazers lose at home and actually fall out of the sixth seed. The Mavs passed them tonight because the Blazers got beat by the Grizzlies up in Portland. The Warriors sitting three games back at Dallas with all those games that they let slip away. We could be having maybe a little bit of a different conversation, but still 12 games to go. And I'm going to make a bold proclamation here, Covey. Are you ready? I got a bold statement right out of the gate. And then I'm going to.
Yeah, you texted me and you teased me, so deliver on this, JD.
And this is not going to be my apology to Steve Kerr for saying I wasn't really feeling Kelly Oubre still coming off the bench with Michael Mulder starting and Kent Bazemore out. That is coming, however, at some point here between now and 11 o'clock.
I thought we might get that.
We're going to get that. The bold proclamation, this should be and will be the final time that the Warriors are below 500 on the season today. They should not be below 500. I'll say it this way. The Warriors should not be below 500 again at any point this season. If you look at them 30-30 right now, and Sacramento in here on Sunday, De'Aaron Fox, I don't know if you saw, went into the health and safety protocols.
Weeks,
So he's going to be out for the next couple of weeks. And then regardless, Dallas, then you go to Minnesota, you're playing Houston, the Pelicans. The schedule's about to get much more favorable. This is the last time the Warriors are going to be below 500, where they were with a tick remaining on the clock before they evened that record.
All right. I'll see your bold prediction. You know, I like to get on the felt and play a little poker, JD. I'll see your bold prediction, and I'll raise you a bold prediction. Over the next seven games, provided Steph plays all seven now, the Golden State Warriors will go 6-1. That's my prediction. And they'll be 36-31 when they come home to face Utah on Monday, May 10th.
Wow.
That's my prediction. There you go.
Wow.
Lock it up.
And look,
lock it up, Sterling.
And you know what? I don't want to be wishy-washy here. And you're right. Steph is a key to all of this. There's no doubt. If Steph has something going on with his foot or his shoe or his brace or whatever, and it's and he's got to get that thing. He needs a new tape job that maybe costs him a game. Then maybe we're having a whole different conversation. But this will be the last. The Warriors will not be below 500 again this season. I keep messing up how I want to say it. I need to say it boldly. Damn it! Get up on the table and say it. The Warriors will not be below 500 at any point again this season. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It is Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. JD and Covey with you until 11 o'clock here tonight as the Warriors get the win 118-97. Kelly Oubre Jr. and Jordan Poole, excellent in this ball game tonight off the bench on a night where the Warriors thin bench, basically a three-man bench, with Poole, Oubre Jr., and Juan Toscano-Anderson. And you look at Oubre and Poole combining for 38 points, 47 points if you add in the 9 from Juan Toscano-Anderson. But I like Poole and Oubre together as a duo coming off the bench a lot more than I like maybe one or the other individually with some other pieces around them coming off the bench. I have to wonder if maybe part of the reason why Steve Kerr has kept this thing rolling is maybe an attempt to convince Kelly Oubre Jr. that, hey, this could be a role and an area where you could flourish maybe moving forward and get paid and be part of a winning environment. Because I know I've been maybe not quite as all in on Jordan Poole, want to see it for the rest of the year, probably going to want to see it a little bit into next year. But if he's going to play at the level that he has played at and Kelly Oubre Jr. can play at this level and would be willing to come off the bench, I think that has the makings of a solid foundation and the kind of a bench that can get a team into the top half maybe of the Western Conference if the headliners are also healthy for this Warriors team next year.
Yeah, and that's the caveat, JD, because, you know, you and I were talking on the show earlier this week, and I maintain, look, We know what the starting five on paper is going to look like next year. Steph, Clay, Draymond, Wiggins, Wiseman, okay? And then, all right, so who's going to be on the bench? Well, like you said, if you could convince Kelly Oubre, and getting him acclimated to that role now, not the worst thing ever. Obviously, you brought him here to be Klay Thompson's replacement. But, look, Klay's coming back next year and, you know, might as well get into that role now and really in a time where he can help the team. But, you know, regardless – you got that starting five next year, and if you look with that bench with Oubre, with Poole, maybe get Eric Paschal back at some point here in the near future, Juan Toscano-Anderson, you know, he can be my 10th guy in my rotation. You're still going to need to add a couple of pieces. I don't think there's any doubt. I need a little more front court scoring for this team, you know, a little more depth at the center spot, obviously with Marquese Chris not coming back next year. We'll put Kevon Looney in that conversation. We'll see what his future looks like with this team if Wiseman's going to be the starter, but if this team win healthy, if everybody that they have at their disposal right now, plus Wiseman and Klay Thompson, okay, it's maybe not the number one seed in the Western Conference, but certainly can play with any basketball team out there. And with Steph playing at the level that he is, Draymond playing the two-way game he is, at that point, Wiggins is like your fourth primary piece. Like, and then Kelly Oubre coming off the bench with Jordan Poole being able to mix it up and give you some scoring. I'm sorry, that to me, that's a really, really good basketball team. Is it a championship team? Well, we'll have to go out there and see. And you'd have to stay healthy for a whole year for us to ascertain if it's a championship basketball team. But I know one thing, it's a competitor and, dare I say, a contender in the Western Conference. I do believe that.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors wrap-up with J.D. and Covey here on 95.7 The Game. Let's get to the phones, and we'll start tonight with Bobby in Oakland. Bobby, you're up first here on Warriors wrap-up with J.D. and Covey. What's up, Bobby?
All right. Thanks for having me on, man. Great game tonight. Really enjoyed it, especially with the fans being back. And I'd like to comment what you just mentioned about Oubre. Hey, I was thinking the same thing. He's like he's buying in. The last couple of games, he's been really playing well. And I'm hoping, he, just like you said, that he could kind of see the vision here. Next year, come back and add a couple free agents, and we should be good. And the other thing, I was looking at the standings. We're not too far from the sixth spot with Dallas. So if we can keep rolling here, to get that sixth spot, Steph gets the MVP. I'm like what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, appreciate the call. A couple of things. We'll start with the last part as far as the sixth seed. The Warriors are only three games out. Now, three games is actually kind of a lot with 12 games to go. And, you know, you look at it right now. But the game on Tuesday in here, and you don't want to overlook Sacramento, although they are going to be without De'Aaron Fox in that game now because he's gone into the health and safety protocols, which makes that a game that should be a layup. Probably should be a layup anyway, but it's especially a layup if he's not going to be able to play. You don't want to look ahead. You got to get that one. But the game on Tuesday night is going to be massive for the Warriors because not only is it an opportunity for the Dubs to gain a game on Dallas and pull even closer, but it's for the tiebreaker. You know, each team in the West is playing each other team in the West three times this season. The Warriors and Mavs have split. If the Warriors win that game, all they would have to do is tie Dallas to move ahead of Dallas in the standings at the end of 72 games. So three is kind of a lot still, but as you pointed out with the Warriors' schedule, they've got the ability to maybe go on a run, and if they do something like win six of the next seven, then their record basically is going to be right there with the Mavs, assuming the Mavs don't equal that. So it feels like it's still a little bit of a tall ask, but if they can get that game on Tuesday, they're going to have to get that game on Tuesday. If they get that game on Tuesday, then they absolutely would still have a shot.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt, JD, and it's just funny how it all works out, because you're right, 13 games left, that's not a lot of time to turn this thing around a deficit, or even 12, you know, at this point, not a lot of time to turn around a three-game deficit, but you got that rubber match coming up with Dallas, and it's just, here we go. I mean, the Warriors, you know, have managed to stick within this pool of 500, and what that's done is it's given them action here with this run late in the year where, you know, teams in the West, there's a lot of attrition, there's a lot of cannibalization going on, these teams playing each other. I mean, Memphis, you know, Memphis and Portland. Well, you knew if the Warriors won, they were going to gain ground on one of those teams tonight, right? And ultimately it ended up being Portland. I think you would have preferred Memphis, but either way, Portland gets a little closer to the pack now. All the Warriors need to do is handle their business, JD, and particularly, you know, the big game coming up. You can't overlook the Kings, but that should be a dub. That game against Dallas a couple of nights from now is going to be massively important. But by and large, with OKC, you got three games with the Pels down the stretch. Like, there are a ton of gettable games out here. So handle your biz. Let the chips fall where they may. If the Golden State Warriors can get to that 40-win plateau, I know that's a big ask, but if they can somehow get there with the big run down the stretch here, obviously that would require 10-2 in their last 12. 39 would be tight. 40, you might have action at that sixth seed with 40 wins when it's all said and done. That might be what it would take, though, to be perfectly honest, obviously depending on how some of these other teams do. But regardless, you could win. You could potentially, the way they're playing right now, I could see them winning 10 of their last 12, but they just got to keep this rolling and not have any of those, oops, we forgot to show up games along the way.
Yeah, that's the key to it at this point. And tonight goes a long way because tonight was one of the games against one of the better teams in the NBA, in the Western Conference in particular, that they still have on the schedule. I mean, really, when you look at it, it's a lot of games that are teams that are either of the Warriors' ilk right now or beneath them in the standings. And then there's a handful of games when you look at it, you know, moving forward where you're playing some of the better teams. And, you know, the Jazz and Suns are going to come in here to Chase Center on a back-to-back in a couple of weeks in that final week of the season on consecutive nights. You had the game tonight, essentially. And then you look at, you know, maybe the game against Dallas is the next toughest between now possibly and the end of the season. So, you know, you get tonight, all of a sudden the rest of it starts to look a lot more plausible, because tonight would have been one of maybe the three or the four games that you would have thought, uh-oh, that could maybe potentially be a problem. I'll lay another one out for you here. Sure. Dallas plays at home against the Lakers tomorrow. They actually play in Sacramento on Monday before they play the Warriors. So it'll be the second of a back-to-back. So they got to go win that game, obviously, as the Warriors have to win their game against Sacramento. So both teams are actually playing Sacramento before they play each other. The Mavs play the Lakers tomorrow, so we'll see what's going on there. The Lakers are getting healthier of late. And then Portland and Memphis actually play again on Sunday afternoon in Portland. So they're playing. I know Memphis has a ton of the back-to-backs against the same team between now and the end of the year because they had a lot of makeup games because they basically missed a week due to COVID. So Portland and Memphis are playing again. So you got another opportunity Sunday to gain on somebody, either Portland or Memphis, if you hold serve and beat Sacramento.
Three words, JD. Handle your business. And, you know, there's no sense in lamenting the Warriors, you know, maybe kicking away some games with some, you know, some late game lack of execution down the stretch. It is what it is. What do good teams do? They learn, right? They go through those experiences, and it hardens them, and they learn how to close out basketball games. And I think we've seen down the stretch, I know Boston wasn't the result that they wanted, but, you know, that road trip, like, I think that was, you know, they beat some top quality opposition out there on the road, and then coming back home tonight against a team like Denver. Obviously, Denver losing Will Barton. I mean, you know, they're already short Jamal Murray. You know, their other backup guard wasn't playing tonight, Monty Morris, either. So, you know, they were already a little bit shorthanded. Warriors caught a break there. But look, Warriors ain't throwing no pity parties for anybody around injuries, for God's sakes. I mean, this team's dealt with enough of them this year. It's part of the deal. Everybody knows that. So take the breaks as they come and handle your business and just let the chips fall where they may. Because, you know, regardless, if you can get to 39, 40 wins, every notch you move up, JD, okay, even if the sixth seed is a pipe dream, and I know there might be some people out there rolling your eyes going, come on, guys, like you're talking about a team that's 500. Okay, fair enough, but they're 7-3 in their last 10. And every notch that you move up from 10 to 9 to 8 to 7, it all has its advantages, right? I mean, from 10 to 9, all of a sudden you're hosting that first play-in game as opposed to playing it on the road. Warriors 18-10 at home. I'll take that. Oh, wait, now you moved up to 8. Cool. Now you can actually lose a game and then still have action at that second game. And then obviously, you know, you get up to that 7 spot, you're hosting that play-in game. You're hosting both play-in games, really, if you lose the first one. So every spot has its advantages. So the Warriors just want to keep on climbing, baby. Keep on climbing.
Yeah, keep on climbing indeed. And they, again, it's worth noting the Warriors have the tiebreaker on the Spurs if it comes down to that. They don't have it against Portland, but they do control it against Memphis and against Dallas because there is a third and final game head-to-head which will determine it. So if you win that game against Dallas on Tuesday, you'd have it against the Mavs. If you win the final game of the season on May the 16th inside Chase Center, you would have it against the Grizzlies. So at that point, the only team the Warriors wouldn't have it against among this group would be Portland because the Warriors ended up losing that lead. One of those games that got away, Covey, back right before the All-Star break in Portland when the Warriors had the lead there, and then Damian Lillard kind of went off late in that one and carried the Blazers to victory. But, no, at this point, three back with a head-to-head game coming, it very much still – it's a tall ask, but it's not impossible – with the schedule that the Warriors still have in front of them because they have the potential, if they stay healthy, relatively speaking, to get pretty hot. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. I want to go back to the conversation about Kelly Oubre really more than Jordan Poole because Jordan Poole is going to be on the Golden State Warriors next year. It's just a matter of is he going to have – as big a role as he's had really since the All-Star break next year. And I think his play of late and his play for the most part in the second half would dictate that the Warriors are probably going to be pretty comfortable extending him and affording him a role in next year's rotation. But as far as Oubre goes, because I was a little reluctant in the pregame, and I said, hey, you know, it's one thing if Bazemore is starting and Oubre was injured and you're playing well with Bazemore and Oubre's coming off the bench, a guy that, you know, has kind of given the impression he's not really cool necessarily coming off the bench or thinks he has maybe more to offer in the future than coming off the bench. You're going to roll with it if you're Oubre because you were out of the lineup. But when the dude that was in front of you in the rotation because you were out goes out, if I'm Kelly Oubre, I'm thinking, hey, I want to get back in there. Now, Steve Kerr chose to go in a different direction. And he liked what he had seen from Oubre off the bench. It sounds like from watching the post-game press conference, it was more about wanting to keep Oubre in a role where he had been successful and the team had been successful than anything, you know, Bazemore or Mulder specific, although it worked out brilliantly for Steve Kerr because Michael Mulder was excellent in his starting role in the ball game tonight, 14 points, 6 of 10 shooting. But I want to go back to Oubre because for me, it's about the role fits, but I wonder if Steve Kerr is trying to convince Kelly Oubre, hey, be open-minded about this thing, man. Like, I'm going to put you in this spot because it's the best thing for us now, but I also, you may hate it and decide this is going to be the reason you're not coming back under any circumstances, but I at least want you to see if you hate it as much as you think you're going to hate it, if that makes sense. So for sure. That... I give Steve Kerr some credit, doing what he feels is best for this team now, but also maybe trying to warm Kelly Oubre up to the fact that you can get paid and be a key cog and make an impact and contribute to winning at the same time.
Yeah, look, I can remember going shopping with my mom, going back to school shopping, and she'd say, hey, you should try this on. And I'm like, no, I don't want to try that on. I'm not going to like that. She's like, try it on, Ryan. I'm like, all right, I'll try it on. Throw it on. Ooh, I like that. That fits good. Just try it on. See how it fits, baby. Try it on, Kelly Oubre. Why not, right? I mean, you can always return it. You don't have to stick around with this team next year if you're so inclined. But here's the thing. I think him and Steve Kerr had a conversation about it. Not, you know, hopefully it wasn't a tough sell. At the end of the day, this is a team sport, and Steve Kerr is a coach that's got three rings as a coach and five trips to the finals. So hopefully Kelly Oubre is able to, you know, if there was an ego about this, and I know he spoke on it around the deadline. So obviously it's something he thinks he's a starter in this league. But look, he's also been a guy coming off the bench in this league too. He knows what that role's all about as well. So it's not like it's unfamiliar to him. And if you're Steve Kerr, I think you could just show him the analytics. Like, look, Kelly, our bench has really struggled this year. And when we've been good and we've won, it's when we've gotten contributions from the bench. And it does give that second unit a bit of a different look. It gives the Warriors a little bit of attitude with that bench. And I hope it wasn't as tough of a sell, right? And it sounds like they had the conversation and Kelly Oubre was on board. At the end of the day, though, you know, Steve Kerr's got to do what he's got to do for this team to win games. And with Kelly Oubre in the starting lineup, Golden State Warriors were on the wrong side of 500. So I don't, you know, and I'm not putting that all on Kelly Oubre, but at some point, you maybe want to try a little something different. And if something different is working for a while, and look, you know, Kent Bazemore in the starting lineup, okay, fine, he's a veteran. Kent Bazemore wasn't playing great. He was playing all right. He had some good games, some bad games. Kind of the same year Kent Bazemore's had. We've seen the real lift in Kelly Oubre's game since he's been coming off the bench, albeit a small sample size, but it's just, it's an easier sell, I think, you know, when you have success early on. So hopefully Oubre's amenable to that. And if the runoff from that JD is, by the way, let's get a little look-see at what this looks like for you maybe doing this role next year, by all means. I guess Steve Kerr would deserve some credit for that. I think right now he's just trying to win some damn basketball games, and he feels like Oubre coming off the bench gives him the best chance to do that. So good on him.
Let's sneak in Brian at San Leandro here. Brian, you're up next on Warriors wrap-up. What's up, Brian? You're on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah.
Hey, Brian, you there?
Basically, you know, you're talking about Oubre, and you got me sidetracked because I'm really thinking that Oubre had a great game. Like, I'm so impressed with that guy. I was more talking about Stephon Curry and just how he came out and was totally flat, got hurt, and then just comes out and scores 32 points. This guy, literally, to me, is the best athlete that's ever came out of the, or not out of the Bay Area. I'm sorry, that was wrong. But he's like the best Bay Area athlete ever. Like, prove me wrong. Jerry Rice, Joe Montana, Bo Jackson, do what you got to do. I swear to God, this kid is the best in the world. And, you know, you got me sidetracked. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian, man. Appreciate it. Be safe out there, my man. Appreciate it. Sounds like Brian's having a good time tonight. And we're all about that on a Friday night here after a big Warriors win. 888-957-9570. We'll react to that call coming back here. We'll also maybe hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr. We'll definitely hear from Stephen Curry as he joined the post game on ESPN. On that side, it was a nationally televised game. So we'll get some thoughts from Steph. It's all straight ahead here. Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Harrison guarding him. Curry left of the logo. Here comes the double team. Jamichael Green. Ball goes over to JTA. Hands it back to Curry. Curry over the shoulder. JTA finds Poole. He's open. Launches at the buzzer. Got it! Three ball to end the quarter. Poole does a little shimmy.
Now, back to Warriors wrap-up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, nice night for Jordan Poole, 15 points, a 5-12 shooting. Warriors get the win over the Nuggets, 118-97, as the Warriors wound up pushing their lead all the way up to 24. They go on to win this thing by 21, so the Warriors now win the season series against Denver, taking 2 out of 3, both games at Chase Center, consecutively with 11 days in between. And that 5-game road trip that the Warriors were on. So 30-30 for the Dubs with 12 games to go. The homestand continues on Sunday with the Sacramento Kings in San Francisco to take on the Warriors. MVP chance tonight among the 1,935 that were in attendance for this one. That was cool to hear, man. And, you know, I think the Warriors did have some juice from the limited amount of fans allowed inside Chase Center tonight. And I think it helped, and it was the perfect night for it coming off of that road trip. I know Jim Barnett, we had him on the pregame. He says, I don't buy into that first game back off a road trip. Team is in a funk. The Warriors were in a little bit of a funk, and Steph Curry was trying to find himself. But I think the energy helped help the Warriors get off to a more even start and get their bearings tonight.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, Michael Mulder knocking down a couple early, get his confidence up, kind of validate Steve Kerr's selection of putting him in the starting lineup. Oubre comes in, contributes. And, yeah, Steph Curry, when he checked back in the third quarter, or in the fourth quarter, excuse me, for his final shift, he had 19 points. So he scored 13 over that final stretch of the game. How pissed was Steph, too, on that no foul call? He got teed up. Like, literally, that might be as mad as I've ever seen Steph. But he's got it's insane that he's got to lobby for calls like that in his own freaking house. That stuff just bothers me to no end. But yeah, I think the crowd did give him a lift. First time in 409 days. It was great to see. I know I'm looking forward to getting back out there, JD, and seeing this basketball team up close and personal. So absolutely it gave him a lift. And, you know, whatever it was, just short of 2 G's, hey, Dub Nation can make that feel like closer to 20. And you heard that MVP chant. And I know we were talking on the pregame, Jay, about, you know, if Jokic is the front runner, these head-to-head matchups, national audience, Friday night, if tonight was kind of a flash poll about where they're at, well, I think it was advantage Steph Curry, right? I mean, Jokic had a rough night across the board, and Steph, you know, found his game and delivered when it mattered most down the stretch, and clearly his guys were playing for him. So I think this goes in another checkbox for Steph Curry tonight in that MVP conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the head-to-head wins against two of them now, against Jokic, who are among the, you know, headliners, and another one this week against Joel Embiid in games where he's just been, talking about Steph, exceptional. And the Warriors now, you know, they've won 6 of the last 8. They're really rolling. They're making things happen, and he's playing at a very high level. And I do think it was Steph the closer tonight as he was trying to find himself early. But being able to be the best player on the floor against other players that are in that MVP conversation, it doesn't hurt as far as making a case. And look, I still maintain, and we'll hear from Steph coming up momentarily about the crowd being back inside Chase Center tonight for the first time since last March the 10th. But as far as Steph and the statement made, I mean, I still think this team, if they can get to 6 and he keeps playing at a high level and they wind up with 40 wins on the season, which is on the table, like, how could he not be in the top 5 at that point when you just look at the entirety of the season? I get it. It's still a lot of ifs and buts at this point, because the Warriors have to go do it and he has to go finish strong and play these final 12 games at a high level. But I feel like that shouldn't be off the table as much as maybe in all reality it probably is.
No, I think that's fair. If nothing else, though, I think Steph has an opportunity to win another scoring title, which would be nice. That's a nice feather in the cap, a nice little check box, you know, another box for the resume. So either way, he can still certainly win that. He's obviously, you know, leading that. Him and Beal probably go down to the end of the year. But if he's playing the way that he's been lately, he's certainly in line for that. And yeah, if this team ends up with 40 wins and is a 6 seed, it might be kind of hard to deny him, especially if, you know, like the Sixers, they've fallen out of the top spot in the East. I know the Nets beat the Celtics tonight, so They've moved up into that spot. You know, clearly even though the Nuggets have been winning still, I think the loss of Murray and, you know, if Barton's hamstring injury is anything serious, and it didn't look good. I mean, he didn't come back tonight. He certainly looks like he's going to miss at least a little bit of time. Looks like that'll probably catch up to them, you would think. I know Jokic has been great, but point is, maybe the field, not only is Steph ascending at the right time, but I almost feel like a lot of the field is coming back to him as well. Now, I think your point's well taken, as we were talking about earlier in the week. For a lot of these people, it's, you know, they've already kind of made up their mind in their head who some of the MVP candidates are. And, you know, it's hard to announce yourself into this race early in the year. But I'm a big believer in, like, you know, think about in the NFL, like Derrick Henry, the Decembers that he's had the last few years. It's like, to me, talk to me after 17 games, you know, week 17 in the NFL or 17 games as it will be this year. Like, talk to me after 72 NBA games. Miss me with the, hey, let's hand out the NBA MVP at the All-Star break. Like, for what? Like, this, we still... And stretch drive anybody? Like, does that not matter? To me, those games should matter more. They're obviously, you know, of much more prominence where guys are more locked in. You're getting everybody's best two-way game. So to succeed in this time of year, you know, to survive the attrition that is a season, I think you get more points for that. That's just me. But hopefully, you know, regardless, if Steph even cracks that top five, top three, dare I say, that means the Warriors are in a very prominent playoff position at that point.
Yeah, top five for me is where it's at. And again, the comps are not so much the Jokic or the Embiids, you know, those players, but it's if you wind up ahead of Lillard or even with Lillard in the standings, or you wind up ahead of Luka or even with them in the standings, and Steph keeps playing at that level, at that point, to me, you know, okay, you want to have a conversation about Giannis maybe being three, but then among Steph, he's right there, you know, with the Lillards and the Lucas and those players, and you start to get into that 4-5 conversation, I think that's where Steph would be. Again, I get it. I understand. I mean, I think a lot of people are looking at the Warriors because they're probably not paying attention as we are to the schedule that the Warriors have in front of them, and they're just assuming, hey, Steph's been awesome, but the Warriors are 30-30, so they're going to wind up 36-36, and 36-36 doesn't cut the mustard, so it can't be Steph, when in reality we may be looking back in 3 weeks and in 2 days here and go, oh, my God, the Warriors actually were a better team than Portland this year. The Warriors were actually a better team than Dallas this year, and a big part of that reason is – the MVP caliber performances of Stephen Curry for holding this group up.
Yeah, one hand washing the other there, no question. And, you know, clearly his health is going to go a long way towards determining, you know, how far this basketball team can push it. And you know what? I just want to say quickly, you know, I know I've been hard on Draymond, but I'll say this. We're clearly in the stretch drive right now. Draymond's effort can't be denied. Draymond is playing his ass off right now, and I'll just give him all the props in the world. And that's the thing. Like, I've always known that Draymond could play at this level. My point of contention has always been, well, where is that consistency? I feel like there, you know, he'd made some business decisions to take some nights off. And as I mentioned, maybe that's by necessity these days, because of, you know, the toll that all the basketball is taking on his body, etc. But regardless, whatever the reasons are, now these games really matter. Steph's terrific play is in lockstep with Draymond contributing, getting him the ball, those two guys working their pick and roll, and the game, the two-man game that they play together. So Steph, you know, Steph gets the accolades, but Draymond gets a lot of props. And tonight, defensively, Draymond was all up on it. So I gotta give Dre his props, JD. He's playing some terrific basketball the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, absolutely, and defending Jokic and Embiid over the last couple of weeks, the imprint on the game basically as the point guard or the point forward in a lot of the sets that the Warriors are getting into, and just when he gets it and they push the pace and he's finding people, it's beautiful basketball to the tune of 40 assists in this ball game tonight. And how about only, you know, 14 turnovers, 40 assists and 14 turnovers. I mean, wow. I mean, almost a 3-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio there.
Yeah, and I felt like early in the game they actually committed. Like in the first quarter, it was a bunch of unforced errors and a bunch of bad turnovers. They didn't have too many live ball turnovers in the second half.
And Dre and Steph were a big part of that, actually.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought – in the first half. That was the reason, you know, I was texting with my buddy Harold during the game, and he's like, oh, this is a great game. Warriors moving the rock. And I'm like, and he's like, man, I feel like the Warriors should be up more. And I'm like, yeah, because they've had some bad turnovers. And, you know, every time you have a turnover, that's an empty possession. And, you know, against a team like Denver, who's such a good rebounding team and a good offensive rebounding team, if you're not going to hit all your shots or play great defense, to have bad turnovers like that is going to cost you. And even when the Warriors were up, you know, in the third quarter, they pushed the lead up from the halftime lead. They were up by like 9 and then 11. And I'm thinking, man, if the Warriors had protected the rock earlier in this game, they would have blown this team out. They would have been up 20. Now they ended up pulling away anyway. But I felt like this game could have been put on ice earlier had they been a little better protecting the rock early. Now, you give them credit because in the second half, when this game was decided, they were terrific with the basketball. So I'm not hating on the 40 assists, but certainly that still was an area early in the game where they needed to clean it up, and then you give them credit because they did.
888-957-9570. That Steph Curry sound, Draymond Green coming up here momentarily. Let's get to Eric and Milbrae, who joins us here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Hey, Eric.
What's up, fellas? Man, was that an impressive way to reopen Chase? They really took it to Denver once again. Just a whole team effort there. Besides Curry, as you guys said, that was old-school Draymond, just wreaking havoc there, kind of like Mulder busting out. Oubre, if he could find it himself, hey, you can really thrive in this role as a sixth man of the year on this team. If his agent, hey, if you get the money's right, come back. And then Jordan Poole, as you guys, when he's going, man, that guy can get just – when you can play a team like Denver, who's one of the best teams in the league, and really just blow them out as you did and hold them under 40%, I really like the position they are the rest of the season. Obviously, you gutted after the way they lost to the Wizards, but for some reason, this team, when they play to the top-tier competition at Road Our Home, as lately, has been right there. I know they kicked away that Boston game, as one of you said, but at home, I think it's a different story, and I think that the energy now from the Dub fans going the rest of the season, I really like the position, and with a team like Portland falling off, what's to say they can't get that sixth seed? At worst, I think they're going to be that seventh seed, which obviously you want to be in because you can lose two games and still get in that playoff position. So, guys, with the way this team plays, especially at home and finishing out strong here, I really like where they're going. And I think I favor them just about every game the rest of the season go forward. I'm going to give it to them tonight. Thanks for the time. Great win tonight, fellas.
Yep, great win. Thanks a lot, Eric. Eric and Milbrae checking in here. 888-957-9570. Look, run through the Western Conference top to bottom. Warriors have beaten Utah inside Chase Center. They haven't played the Suns at Chase Center. That's coming up in May. The Clippers, they've beaten in Chase Center. They beat the Nuggets twice in Chase Center. They didn't beat the Lakers in Chase Center, but they did get a win at Staples Center. But you look at some of the other teams that beat Portland in Chase Center, haven't played the Mavs yet, haven't played the Grizzlies yet. So among the top teams here, Utah, Clippers, Nuggets a couple of times, Portland, the Warriors have wins against all of these teams, basically, except for the Lakers. But that's the one team they were actually able to beat on the road.
Yeah, no doubt. The one big boy in the West they beat on the road this year. Look, I said coming into the year, JD, make the Chase Center your house. And obviously they got 17 of those wins without fans. Now it only stands to ramp up. And beautiful timing too, right, when you have all these home games at the end of the year. And sure, the Utah game and the Phoenix game, because I think Utah and Phoenix, they're going to be duking it out for the top spot in the West. Like, I think that's going to come down to the last game or two of the season. You know, right now, two games separate. I mean, maybe the Jazz pull away if the Suns start to slip, but, you know, both of these teams, they're pretty damn good. I don't think there's any doubt. So with that in mind, both of those games that they play against those two teams, the Jazz and the Suns, will matter for the Jazz and the Suns at Chase. Warriors just have to be up for those games. But, hey, the Warriors are rolling at that point, and you got a Steph Curry still in a nice lather. I like their chances at home against those teams. Usually when they've lost at home, it's when they're not hitting their threes, and, you know, it's more a product of what they're doing as opposed to or more to the point what they're not doing as opposed to what the opposition is doing. Like, the Warriors can, in a lot of ways, still dictate terms at home, and that's an important thing to do, man, establish a home court advantage. So that bodes well for them down the stretch here, and it certainly bodes well for them if they can, in a, you know, these one game do or die play in tournament scenarios or situations, those games can be at the Chase Center, JD, whichever ones we're talking about. If you can have one there or guarantee two there, then I think you're looking pretty good for an opportunity to go through and have a playoff series. And then, hey, who knows what could happen?
Let's hear from Stephen Curry. He joined Scott Van Pelt on ESPN on SportsCenter after the ball game tonight, and he discussed having fans back in the stands.
I mean, all around the world, we know how many people have been on the front lines through this pandemic, and sports is a huge part of, you know, people's experiences in all type of communities. And for us here, you know, Dub Nation has supported us like crazy, and it's been totally different, you know, looking at empty seats for, you know, the last 409 days. So,
yeah,
you know, even with the limited fans we had in here, it was just night and day difference in the atmosphere and the buzz. And, you know, they brought a lot of energy that we needed, you know, coming off a crazy road trip. We were looking forward to this night for a long time. And, you know, a lot of people sacrificed a lot to make tonight happen. So just happy we came out the win, obviously. But I know we'll, you know, slowly get more fans in here safely. But it meant a lot to know how much time has gone, but, you know, since we've had, you know, anybody else other than players in Chase Center.
So I've got a nugget now that's going to blow your mind, and it's a nugget. We're going to give Wes Goldberg credit because I noticed after the fact, I shared it with our own Whitley Sandretto. We were kind of texting back and forth, and then I realized that Wes Goldberg, after the fact, had actually tweeted this. Tonight was the first Steph Curry win at Chase Center with fans watching. Think about that.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, you know, I said we'd only seen him play there once since October 30th of 2019. I wasn't even an engaged man yet, let alone a married man, JD. It was a long time coming. And so, yeah, I think we saw what a brutal season it got off to last year. So that was the first time Warriors fans got to see Steph get a win in Chase Center. I think that's a beautiful thing. And Steph started that clip with Van Pelt by talking about what's going on all around the world. It made me think all around the world, same song, of course, Digital Underground. And I haven't been on the air since. So RIP to Shock G, of course, who passed away yesterday. True hip-hop legend. I had a couple of our paths crossed a few times over the years. Dude, I rode Bart one day. Shock G was riding Bart from San Francisco to the East Bay, middle of the afternoon. He was sitting there playing an acoustic guitar on a Bart train, and I just, like, sat there and chopped it up with him for, like, a half hour. It was, like, one of the coolest experiences ever. So RIP to a legend, Shock G. I'd be remiss if I didn't say that tonight because it's certainly been something I've been thinking about. But, yeah, man, great for Steph to finally get to – I mean, look, let's face it. That's the house that Steph built. I mean – with all due respect to Clay and Draymond, Steph built that thing, man. Like, that's because of Steph Curry. That's because the Dubs drafted Steph Curry that building exists now. So that first win, long time coming, baby. But, you know, now that we broke the seal on that bad boy, let's go.
Well, it's amazing you think about it, and you're right. We're not talking about a lot of games. I mean, he was injured in the second game that he played at Chase Center. So they lost to the Clippers in the night that he broke his hand to the Suns. So it was two games there. He comes back on March the 5th, and they lose to Toronto. They lose to Toronto 121-113. So that's the third game. And then he actually missed a game that they won against Philly on that Saturday before everything got shut down. It was a nationally televised game. The Warriors beat Philly with, I think, eight guys playing, and it was, you know, the Kai Bowmans and the Michael Mulders and the JTAs, and those guys got a big win with Wiggins. But Steph wasn't a part of that. And if you recall, that was the night where it was Steph had the flu, and it was, you know, really the first time that there was kind of a scare in sports among, you know, did Steph test, you know, positive for the coronavirus? Did he have it? Was he able to get a test? I mean, that was the thing. I remember being at Chase and in the media room, everybody was kind of thinking, does he have the coronavirus, before we all knew, obviously, how serious it all was and would become. But the Warriors actually won that night without him and then lost the final game before everything shut down against the Clippers. And then tonight was the first game back in 409 days. So, yeah, the first time that Steph Curry gets a win inside Chase Center with fans in the building. Pretty incredible when you think about the fact that we are now, 18 months, basically, almost to the day. 18 months last night would have been when Chase Center officially opened its doors back in 2019. Let's hear from Draymond Green as he joined the guys at NBC Sports Bay Area, Bonte and Darrell and the guys there following the ball game. Draymond talking about the Warriors playing their best ball.
I think we're starting to put it together, you know, and saying that, you know, I think we still gave away a game in Washington. You know, games like that, you have to win, you know, and we didn't. So it's great to come back out here and, you know, first game with Dub Nation here, you know, come out and get a win. That was an important win for us. We need to continue to build on it. As far as, you know, teams want to see us in the playoffs, I don't know. I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to play any team with Steph Curry on it. So that's just me, though. Maybe nobody else care, but I wouldn't want to.
Well, that's good, right? Because we've been the big talking point has been the motivation level for this team, and in particular Draymond. So maybe if you can keep fighting, then you can be that team that nobody wants to play.
You know what always stands out to me? Steph and Draymond, they are always a united front, like in public. You know what I mean? Like never a bad word about the other one to anybody. Like
yeah.
Those two guys, they've got a special relationship, man. And, you know, clearly, look, we know Draymond's got a big personality and, you know, certainly I'm sure him and Steph have had their disagreements over the years, you know, behind closed doors. But it's, you know, the epitome of camaraderie and, you know, just team and chemistry and culture. That's putting on that game face, man. Never letting them see you sweat. And those guys, it's always a united front. There's obviously a major amount of respect for each other. But, you know, when those cameras roll, man, there is no bigger supporter of Steph Curry than Draymond Green. And I think Draymond appreciates, too, you know, maybe through some of the transgressions over the years that Steph has never wavered, always stood by his side. So it's been a very important relationship. It's been a championship relationship. And then you got Clay, who's always just like, come on, guys, let's go out and hoop, you know? Like, that's all Clay wants to do is go hoop. So
it's a great balance between the three
is.
Of them. I mean, it really
for
is
sure.
The perfect person. Forget about the basketball balance, which is great, but the personality balance is, I think, an under-discussed part of it. The fact that those three personality types fit so perfectly in a locker room where you have great players with egos and the like, they set the tone collectively.
No question. And you could just – and that's not contrived. That's not BS. Like, that's real. And it would – you know, I think if it wasn't real, like, first of all the success wouldn't have happened. But it wouldn't still be together the way it is. Like, these guys are all – you know, waiting for Clay to get back. Everybody feels terrible about it. You know, Steph's going to get inked up long-term again. Draymond, Clay, and Steph, they're all going to be around for a couple of more years to come. Let's see what everybody looks like healthy next year. I think these guys can't wait for the opportunity. And, look, I believe Draymond. Like, if you're the Jazz or you're the Suns, you're like, well, I don't know who we want to play, but I know who we're not trying to play in the first round. I know that for sure. And that would be any team with Steph Curry on it, as Draymond alluded to.
All right, quick piece of business here before we call it a night. I want to give everybody an update on what was going on with Steph Curry's foot as well. I know we had some issues with the post-game Zoom session as far as on the technical side. So not as much sound available tonight as normal, but we will pass along a Steph Curry update before we get out of here. We also need to get to our Exergen, who's hot and who's not, brought to you by Exergen, because accuracy matters. Covey, I'm just going to let you go tonight, because often we try and get this in. We usually do it in that second segment, and I'm like, oh, who's it going to be? And I just take all the options. So I'm not going to do that tonight, man. I'm going to give you the floor for who's hot and who's not. You can pick anybody you want, brother.
I appreciate that, man. You know what? For who's hot, I'm going to show some love tonight to Juan Toscano-Anderson. Dude, when you play 26 minutes and are a plus 29, I got to give some love to JT. I also chipped in 8 boards, and I mentioned Warriors had the advantage tonight rebounding the basketball 52-36 against one of the top rebounding teams in the NBA, had the offensive rebound advantage as well. So Juan Toscano-Anderson, defensively terrific, and then chipping in those 9 points and also hit 4 out of 7 from the field. You know, Draymond being an obvious candidate, tying a career high with 19 dimes, and then, of course, Steph back in with 32. As far as who's not, man, I can't. I mean – you know, it feels sacrilege to say, because everybody that played tonight, any meaningful amount of basketball in this game tonight, balled out. They played their ass off. So you know what? Who's not tonight? I'm gonna say Jokic as far as who's not tonight, because he didn't hit his season highs or his season averages, excuse me, in any of his major statistical categories. Only 6 assists, only 6 rebounds, 19 points, 7 of 16 from the floor. Didn't hit a 3. Jokic, and by the way, started out 5 of 5, so it was 2 of 11 the rest of the way. So who's not? The Joker, baby. Let's go. Steph's the MVP.
Yeah, that's a good call, and that's where I was going to go. If you needed help there, I was ready to roll there for Jokic. I was also maybe going to go with Campazzo and his 1 for 8 tonight and a minus 20.
He beat up Steph, though.
He did initially, and then the Warriors kind of figured it out how to deal with it. But yeah, minus 20 though for Campazzo in this ball game. Quick update on Steph. He said he had a tape issue as far as something just didn't feel right with that foot. Came back out, tried to get in the flow, and then he was kind of asked about the foot issue. You know, pushed on that a little bit, and he said hopefully it'll be fine by Sunday. Didn't feel quite right. Wanted to get the tape redone. Came back out, tried to get back in the flow of the game, but stuff happens. Again, hopefully it'll be good by Sunday, he says, not as prominent as the ankle twist in Boston. So he was able to finish that game, obviously, and then come back and play in Philly 2 days later. So you hope everything's going to be all right because, again, the Warriors, they need to get every game they possibly can. And Sacramento is a team that's coming into Chase Center ripe to get beat. And you don't want to give them any hope by having 30 not out there that maybe they could steal one against what's left of the Warriors.
Yeah, and what you hope on Sunday is Steph Curry doesn't have to play in the fourth quarter. Like, that's the goal for Sunday. So, obviously, you need Steph, you know, you want to make sure Steph can play, but maybe you can give him that fourth quarter off Sunday if you can put the boots to the Kings along the way. That's got to be the goal. And, yeah, Steph's gutting it out right now. Clearly, he's playing through the tailbone injury, the ankle. So he's got some issues right now, as anybody that's been playing as much basketball as he has would at this kind of time of year, especially a guy that takes the pound in the way he does. So hopefully Steph will be all right. And if he needed to take Sunday off, JD, I think they could still find a way. But this also comes at a bad time with Bazemore being out and Damian Lee, that backcourt getting a little short right now. So really want to see 30 out there on Sunday when we hit that Warriors pregame live.
Yeah, you definitely do. And De'Aaron Fox is going to be out for the Kings. I think that would make it winnable. If De'Aaron Fox was playing and Steph couldn't, that would be a major problem. Like, we've seen how that game played out the last time that these two teams played. That's a nice little mulligan of a break for the Warriors if Steph wound up not being able to go. I'm with you. I think it would be a 50-50 game at that point, basically. But I think the Warriors could still win it. You get Steph out there, like you said, even if it's just for the first three quarters, you hope you can put that bad boy away because the Kings are cooked. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Station. That's going to do it for us. Good stuff tonight, Pada. We'll be back 5:30, a late game on Sunday, a rare late game on Sunday, 5:30 for Warriors Live, and then tip off at 7 for the Dubs and the Kings. Good stuff, my man.
Yeah, I know you'll be on with Nick Friedell tomorrow doing that yeoman's work on the weekend, JD, so much love to you for that. And, man, I got a foursome pegged out Sunday. I'm supposed to be golfing with Nick Winkler and Brian Peacock, among others, but now I hear it's going to rain. Like, it never rains in the Bay, and the one day that I'm like, man, I really don't want it to rain, it's actually going to rain on Sunday. So it might rain on my golfing parade, but that means I'll just be in the lab having more hot takes for the pregame show, JD. So regardless, I'll be ready to roll for that late one on Sunday. Hopefully it'll be after I play 18 holes of golf and maybe a few cocktails. Either way, though, good stuff tonight, partner, and we will talk to you then.
Yeah, good stuff. So for Covey, I'm John Dickinson. We'll be back 5:30 on Sunday. I'll be back tomorrow, 9 a.m., quick turnaround with Nick Friedell, as we'll have Warriors this week from 9 a.m. until noon. Thanks to Sterling. Appreciate Bobby Spang, Ryan Mauser as well, as the Warriors get the win tonight, 118-97, in front of fans at Chase Center for the first time in 409 days. And you heard it right here on your home for Warriors basketball. It's 95.7 The Game. Good night.